And it's time for the Cougar Cuties.
No, it's not time for the Cougar Cuties. It's time for the number one podcast in the A-10.
Number one in the A-10.
The Entertaining Two Ramblers Podcast. I'm the host with the jokes, Dauber. And he's the analyst with the attention to detail. And also a Loyola treasure, Sammy D.
What up, Dauber?
Number one in the A-10.
A-10 champs, baby.
I literally just in my head the whole night was Alex, number one in the A-10.
A-10 champs, baby. A-10 champs.
Oh, my gosh. I'm literally, I mean, I know that it's a bad pod business to say I'm speechless, but to win.
You know, whenever anyone says no words on Facebook, you're about to get some more words. They always then add some more stuff, you know?
Exactly. But just, I honestly, just what an exciting end to the season. I mean, just looking back at, you know, I mean, the whole conference season, they went 15-3. They never lost back-to-back games. They had two losses at going down the stretch where they lost on the road, unfortunately, to VCU and St. F and Bonaventure. But it just had great bounce back wins after those games. And then to close it out on a night where you could tell on the TV, or at least in all of the different Twitter stuff, very emotional, because here you had guys that, you know, this Braden Norris, Mr. Loyola, Tom Welch, you know,
Phil,
you know, guys that had really were at the bottom and brought this team back to where, you know, Braden said in the post game, you know, we're here about putting up banners and getting rings. And it, you know, he made the comment, it's my fourth ring. I'm like, oh my gosh. Yeah. It's like, and then going back to what last year was like just how miserable that was. And then to see them succeed in this manner where I think everybody would have been content with, you know, 10 wins or just, you know, be competitive in the A-10 and, you know, to build something, but to win out and to, you know, to tie Richmond, to be A-10 champs, co-champs, no words.
Yeah. And it was a sellout yesterday, but the students weren't there, or like there was actually a good contingent of students that either came back for the game or in town,
live in the area. Yeah.
Yeah. So there was a little like a mini wolf pack, but I'd say, you know, it was nothing like the Dayton game or some of the more recent games. The George Mason game was probably, I think the George Mason, the Dayton game were probably, I would say George Mason game was the most amount of Loyola fans that were at a game this year, because Dayton
brought people.
Brought people. Whereas George Mason, no one came for George Mason. I saw no George Mason gear.
Yeah.
So I think George Mason was the highlight of terms of fans at the stadium. So I know a lot of people even listening to this podcast might not have been there last night, but you know, I think like a lot of us, because we're the second seed, there's a little bit of like a diminished feeling. But then when they're cutting down the nets and you're looking at, hey, we played our season, we tied with a team that we lost like in the last seconds to
by 2 points
that we could have won.
Yeah, that's it. Either way, it's
so,
like,
so we tied with a team that was equal to us,
right?
And if that game goes a different way, we're outright champs and the one seed. So like the difference between the one and two seeds in this league were almost negligible,
right? Yeah,
I don't care what Ken Pom says. That, you know, Ken Pom and the net are just garbage to me. It doesn't feel like it's, I don't feel like they see teams play, because it doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I, I, Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, I get the Power Six, you know, it's a little more weighted, but yeah, when teams are like 15-15 and they're ahead of us in the KenPom, I'm like, you don't even have 20 wins. I don't care if you're Georgia. If you don't have 20 wins, it's not relevant to me, I don't think.
Well, and then I think what also I find infuriating about that is, okay, let's say they're 15-15. Okay, you're 500. You're 500 in your conference, your SEC Big Ten conference. That's fine. Who did you play in non-con?
Yeah,
300 or less.
Bunch of cupcakes that you schedule at home.
Right. Yeah. No, that's not a non-con. There should be stipulations, I think, no one's going to listen to us, but there should be stipulations that you have to play, you know, an average of, you know, schools that are, you know, I don't know, whatever, 200 or better, or play a road game. But that's never going to happen.
Well, and we always laugh.
It's so minimum.
If you look at my brackets, I'm always picking, you know, like half the Big Ten teams to lose on day one. Why? It's because they're just average. They're right. Average teams. So, like, I don't quite understand it. And it's going to be a shame if for some reason we're on the outside looking in after such an incredible end to the season. And I get it. I mean, gosh, one game goes a different way or you know, maybe it's a different conversation. But still, it's kind of like I feel like the resume they've put together in the last couple of months since that South Florida game, just, I mean, top 50 in the country. Without a doubt.
I'm pulling up the schedule right here. And yeah, basically they went 17-3 since that loss. I mean, that's 20 games. That's 20 games.
20 games. And most of those were in conference, in a challenging conference. And you could say, well, they're all at the bottom of the top 100. Okay. But, I mean, you're still playing teams night in and night out that are top 100.
Right. I mean, if the
conference. And you come out 17-3.
Yeah. Think about it. George Mason. Who did they beat at home this year? They beat Dayton and Richmond. But who did they not beat at home? They didn't beat Loyola at home. You know, what an amazing season. I'm just and then to see that it played out the way it did, where there wasn't one guy, there was a team. I mean, every night it was somebody else. It was somebody did this. They all improved.
Well, and that's another thing, you know, I keep seeing all these like tweets and stuff, you know, saying, you know, we might have a championship team and no one's a first teamer on the A10 team. Because why? Because, oh, no one on Loyola's Ken Pom numbers are good as a player. It's because we don't have a player that's like going nuts and everyone else is just like, you know, just average.
Backup singers. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so annoying. Like, So I'm sure that when we get to A10 award season, they're gonna overlook us. And you know, I happen to go back and look. Did you know, players of the week? We have not had one guy who's been a player of the week or a rookie of the week. Now maybe they'll give it to Miles this week, but all season long they've completely ignored us. The A10 doesn't want to admit that we're in their league.
Well, hold on a second. In those metrics, I could totally understand where we did. I mean, the one week that I thought we could have somebody,
the Sheldon couple games. The
Sheldon week. It just so happened to coincide with, you know, Sincere Parker of St. Louis going for 35 in two consecutive games. So it's like, what are you going to do? That guy just went off for two games. On a losing team, but it was like, okay, and that's what those things are. It's like, who's got the high point totals and that kind of thing, but it's just like, okay. I honestly don't care about, you know, player of the week stuff. Yes, it's nice.
I know. I just think it's funny.
It is funny. I think it's funny. Ironic.
And you know, there were haters coming out already last night, either talking about the UIC loss, going all the way back to that, and of course it's golly, what is it with this league and burner accounts? Like, can't people just put their name on something?
Like, you know who puts her name? George Templeton from VCU. I appreciate you. I've had some conversations with you. Really like you. I like, you know, I
just,
like your stuff.
I just think it's so annoying. I saw a guy last night ripping on, you know, the fact that we were calling ourselves co-champions. And I'm like, that's what we are. I mean, you can diminish it any way you want. And then I've seen other people still talking about the UIC loss. And what really annoys me about this, and I was goofing around this week. I couldn't get enough Loyola Ramblers. So I went back through YouTube to try to find any videos posted from the 80s and 90s.
Yes.
And so I was...
Yes, you pulled up some gems, my friend.
Yeah, so I found a great Joe Gentile, you know, thumbs upping the crowd on the opening night of the Gentile Arena. Or as he called it, I saw him in another interview. He called it, and I remember him calling it this. Do you remember what Joe Gentile used to call our arena? And I think we should go back to calling it this because I think it's hilarious.
I'm completely
Joe clueless. Gentile wouldn't call it the Joe Gentile Center because he's Joe Gentile. He called it the Barn.
What?
He called it the Barn. I remember this from the 90s. He would call it the Barn.
I do not remember that at all.
He called it the Barn. He goes, yeah, we got a good game at the Barn tonight. The Barn. I thought it was.
Wow. Yeah.
So I want to call it the Barn.
From now on, it's the Barn.
Yeah, the Barn. So so I saw Joe Gentile. Okay, I went back, and a couple of the games that are posted or clips are posted are us playing the Flames. Yeah. So you're going back 20, 30 years, and yeah, the Flames Loyola games are back and forth back then.
Right.
Horizon League, MCC. MCC.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking 30 years ago. And so for these jackasses from Atlantic 10 who can't even put their name on their Twitter, ripping on UIC, they've never seen a UIC game. They've never been to a Loyola UIC game. I didn't hear anybody ripping on Villanova for losing to St. Joe's.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when Villanova plays St. Joe's or when they have that
Power Five, yeah.
The Power Five, now it's Power Six. You know, people go, oh, those Philly teams get up to play one another. Even last night, I heard people on Twitter going, you know, Dumphy is a, you know, really good coach and LaSalle, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, so they revere these, you know, they revere these teams from Philadelphia and they don't think anything if they beat one another.
Right.
They don't think a Philly team is a cupcake team. So why do they equate the Flames with that?
They think Drexel's a cupcake team.
Okay, whatever. My point is,
yes,
there was absolutely no historical, there's no context for these Twitter trolls. And all they can look at is their KenPom. It's like, enough with it. We heard it all freaking year, and we're still hearing it now, and we're going to raise a banner. I mean, right. So and so what's the situation we're in? And I'm worked up now. The situation we're in is we got to win three to get back to the dance. And guess what that is? That's the Valley all over again. If you don't win the three, you don't go. So we've been in that position before. We're good with that position.
Yeah.
You think in 18 they just were ready to give us an at-large bid?
No.
They weren't saying, oh, that Sister Jean's a really good story. Let's give them an at-large bid. No, we had to win.
They lost to Boise State.
Yeah. We had to win to get in. And now we're back in that position, and it's hilarious.
And the same was true in the Sweet 16 year. They were not going to go.
I'm not going to say anything bad about Dayton, but I could easily see them getting an at-large or – possibly winning our tournament. Why does everyone say it like that? Tournament.
It's that East Coast
tournament. Even Dave from Talking Blurs calls it a tournament.
Yeah, it's because he's from DC.
I don't get that.
Or no, he's from Philadelphia.
Right? Yeah. But Dayton could win that tournament or get an at large, and I could easily see them getting bounced in the first round without any. There's nothing. What the team I saw last week play us, I'm like, they could easily run into a buzzsaw. And I don't care if they're the fifth seed. they could run into a 12 and just get bounced. They'll be one of those 12-5 bouncers. And I don't even think they're going to have fifth seed now.
Well, that's the thing that I find fascinating about these last couple of games. So we beat Dayton. We go crazy town. But then their next game, or, you know, we hold them down to 72. Their next game against, you know, VCU on Friday, this last Friday night, or on when they played St. Louis on Tuesday or Wednesday, they beat them by 20. And then the VCU game, I mean, it was, that was a crazy town game where they're hitting threes and all that kind of stuff. And I'm just like, what is, I was like, that's not the same team that we played. And, or Bonaventure, you know, ran us out of the gym and made us look bad. But then all of a sudden they, you know, had horrible losses coming down the stretch.
So they dropped two right after us.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, nuts.
And so it's just like, I was looking back to, or I wanted to see, you know, Dayton does have some good wins. They, you know, they beat SMU, they beat St. John's, which is now, but then, and they beat LSU. So, I mean, they got some power five, power six to beat Cincinnati, power six, you know, wins. And I think that's what's keeping them afloat. But the fact that, you know,
I'm not saying the strength of the A10,
it's just like, why is the A10 getting discredited? And here, supposedly the best KenPom team has got four losses. Like, whoa, hey, maybe this thing is, you know, skewed.
Yeah, no.
And I know it's not for a lack of the A10 not wanting to schedule, you know, high power opponents.
Yeah.
I mean, St. Joe's played, you know, great guys. Even VCU, but they had some injuries. It's just like, I still find it fascinating that there's such weight to the KenPom in those first, and Jordan Burnfield spoke to this at the broadcast of the LaSalle game, of like, there's such an overweighted emphasis for those first eight games and not taking into account the last 20 games. I mean, because there has not been any movement at all. And so then I was even thinking of like, because I saw it on Twitter, someone talking about the movement of the A-10 teams on, was like on KenPom, you know, preseason to now. And I was fascinated. I was like, why in this era now of the transfer portal and all this kind of different stuff, is there so much weight to where teams start off with? And like, then you're just, hey, you're saddled and you're not going to move up or down because it's like where you started. I'm like, what?
I'm dumbfounded by it. I'm literally dumbfounded by it. And we've heard it all year. I mean, I made a whole song about it.
Yeah, and KenPom.
And now
I went to number 10 on the R&B charts.
And now it's like, and what's sad about it, I think, is I think when I was talking about it before, it was more to just for us to just be relevant and to us to be not to be dissed by these, you know, by A10.
Right.
But now it's like, this could be the difference between us getting in the tournament or not, is these stupid metrics that don't make any sense. So I, you know, and, but as I said, I don't want to take anything away from what I saw last night, because it was an emotional ending to the season, a real validating moment for the program and for Drew. Drew came out afterwards, and we'll get into the sights and sounds, but he came out and said, you know, I told you guys after the UIC, I think it was after the UIC loss, he said, stick with us, you know, and here we are. We're going to put a banner up next year. And and I thought about it and went, you know, gosh darn it, he's right. Like, they grinded this year. They got wins in our tournament, in our league. This is a tough league. I mean, we got bounced last year in this league. So for us to go to first, you know, and people are saying, well, this is a horrible thing for the league. Someone on Twitter said, who I blocked. I blocked so many people this week, it was ridiculous. One guy said, this is an embarrassment. We're embarrassed by this. What he meant was the A-10 is embarrassed by us doing well. And I'm like, well, first of all, we're part of the A-10, dummy. So we're part of the we, dummy. And I was like, block. I was going to respond, and then I went, block. And then I found out he was on my personal one, too. I blocked him on my personal. I was like freaking, I have no tolerance for that. Of course, if he would have been a real person, maybe with a point, I would have maybe like dialogue with him. But no. Hey, before we get into like talking about the games this week, Davidson and stuff, I had to do it. I had to do it. I had to jump back into spaces. And and you know, I had to go back to Dave's spaces, and he's not quite.
Hopefully you were not listening to it on Bluetooth, and the whole house
was No. And I think Dave must have heard our last episode, and he toned it down a little bit. But yeah, he still had a little live energy, though. I want to just get into just a little clip from the spaces. Of course, Dave does this. He's done this all year long after games, and so he got into it last night. And let me just play a little clip of our spaces last night as fans. I did not get a chance to jump on. I actually jumped on after the Davidson game, but we lost.
Yes, you did.
We lost the audio for that. But here we go. Here's a little bit from last night.
What a great time to be a Rambler, going from 4-14 last year in conference, being in last place out of 15, and now we're sitting here and we're tied for first at 15-3 with Richmond. Just a really, really awesome, what a great season. Just excited for these guys. Really happy to see what we've been able to accomplish, especially in conference play. Really excited to see what Brooklyn brings us, especially now that we get to sit back and wait till Thursday to see who we face. Right now, there are three possibilities between GW, LaSalle, and same Bonaventure, and all three of them lost today. So, yeah, Baz, I'm giving you, you're on. So whenever you're ready, you can unmute. And yeah, love to hear from you.
Absolutely, it's been exciting, right? Like, you know, even Drew Valentine's speech after the game when he took the mic from the PA guys, it was just you get goosebumps, right? It was very much it's very much like shades of Jordan Belfort. He's not leaving. He's not leaving. Sorry for my language, but
you're fine. This is the
easy. Whoa, man!
Get one F. I get one F. Yes. Okay, so I used it. Yeah. My apologies, but
man, even Baz is getting in on it.
Settle down, Baz.
Wow, there's so much energy, man. I'm telling you, man.
With that potty mouth.
I'm telling you, man, guys. Like, I think there's room for this late night blurs. You know, just keep it uncorked. drink a couple blurs after dark. I think that's a new name for talking blurs after dark. Let's just rebrand it. Get some F words in there. Get the energy up. Yeah. So,
what a great time to be a Rambler.
Yes, it is.
So good. Yeah, I did one person who heard it said, "Hey, I heard you on there. I thought you were going to say, you know, it's what a great effing game." He thought I was going to come in and say that. I go, "No, come on. We're just kidding around. It's just fun."
Yes.
Why don't we roll back the clock and talk about the Davidson game and the Belk Arena and you know, Belk Twitter, whatever that guy's name is, the Belk Report.
The Belk Report.
Was somehow painting a loss to the Ramblers is not that bad, and Ramblers are bad in the KenPom, and he somehow had some take on it that this is, you know, an anomaly that we beat them twice. You know, it's like, I love these teams losing to us twice. Just give us our flowers. Just say, listen, hey, they're better than we thought. Hey, we weren't ready. No, it's like they still have to take a dig.
Yeah, I think they literally thought, oh, this team's going to take 5 or 6 years to figure it out. And I think they questioned whether we could ever figure it out.
I think they really thought we were like a joke. Honestly, they were,
you know, riding the coattails of, you know, Sister Jean and, you know, 2018, which you could, okay, I can kind of get that thought process, but like they fail to mention and fail to remember the 21 team, the 22 team, I mean, because I think that's a testament of what this program is that 22 team in particular, because that team, we announced before the season that we're moving to the A-10. So everybody in the Valley, you know, circled it. And every game was ridiculous. You know, every road game was just like not even competitive because it was just like not the refs, but just like the fans. And it was just hostile. And then to roll into that tournament where we went from the one seed to the four seed because there's 45 foul shots for Northern Iowa.
Yeah, ridiculous.
And then to literally, you know, just curb stomp, you know, the three opponents in front of us.
Yeah.
You know, to get the to move to the tournament. You know, it was just like, that's the team that the A-10 wanted. And then, unfortunately, didn't have last year, but now has. And so I think, again, administration of A-10's like, yes, because they know the value of Loyola basketball is that Chicago market. And this is what the A-10 brings. I mean, because think about it. All of those Chicago alums of A-10 schools, Dayton, St. Louis. That's the only ones that are here in Chicago. They want a place to go to. So now you got Loyola coming in. It's like how much that brings the fact that this area, you know, brings to the Atlantic 10 and gives them more of a national stage. You're going to tell me next year that, you know, Loyola is only going to be on one national broadcast of the Friday 10? No, because they remember what that was like against Dayton, and they're going to want more of that.
Hey,
you know,
even
with USA.
Hey, even like think about it. We played Dayton three times. We went into overtime once. We got curb stomped the second time by them. They really pulled away. Yep. Big talent differential. And then we beat them at home. Like we're 1-3 against them. And each game
1-2.
I'm sorry, 1-2 against them. And each game had a lot of excitement. Even the game that we lost last year, you know, was a sellout. It was a ton of energy, ton of eyes on that game. So, like, why wouldn't that continue next year? And when they lose,
I agree.
And when they lose Daron Holmes, at some point, they're even going to be more evenly matched with us, I think.
I don't think they will be. It depends on what they bring in next year, but I
you don't think they're going to do a St. Louis swoon, do you? Because I was really excited about the St. Louis games this year, and they were actually kind of afterthoughts at the end of the season.
I don't think they'll kind of slide back to 500 and then regroup. That's my thought.
How great was it, though, if we just – I know we're going to talk about Davidson, but how great was it to beat Davidson twice, St. Louis twice, St. Joe's twice, and to take the one from Dayton.
George Mason twice.
But I'm just thinking about last year. St. Joe's beat us three times. St. Louis beat us twice badly.
Right.
You know, so just to come back and beat all those teams was so great. Yeah, and I still just think it's hilarious that the A-10 Twitter can't go... Oh, that's pretty significant. Yeah, you guys got killed last year, and now you're beating everybody. You're sweeping teams, not just splitting with them. You're sweeping them.
Yeah.
So speaking of the sweep,
with anybody.
Speaking of the sweep, we had the Davidson Wildcats, and I think there was a player on our team who didn't he used to play there, Des Watson.
Yes. Des Watson. Yes, he did play there. And it was a game that, you know, started out slow, but then, you know, Des and the fellers, you know, they righted the ship. And then a certain tall, thin man by the name of Miles Rubin came to play and basically just said, I'm going to take this game over. Defensively, offensively, I think everyone has been seeing him and think, okay, yeah, he can play defensively, but what has he got offensively? And homeboy came out, it was 6-9 from the field. He had 2 offensive rebounds, 1 assist, and, you know, and was just like, he was a menace on both sides of the court, and was the broadcast, again, another road broadcast worrying about the Ramblers, who I really liked them. I thought they brought good stuff. They weren't as comical as Jimmy P from George Washington, but whoever the color analyst guy was, man, he knew his stuff. And I was like, I was taking notes.
Yeah, I like that guy. Name. I like that guy. And he looks kind of like,
he looked like Nick Schultz, the guy that was the Phoenix guy from the 18 team.
I thought he looked like a kid at a bar mitzvah with kind of a suit that didn't fit very well, but just was really smart and a smart, precocious kid who talked about sports. Like, he just seemed like that type of guy.
Yes.
Yeah. I liked what he had to say too. Yeah. I was impressed. There was one thing he said that was really impressive to me, and now I can't remember what it was, but anyway, yeah, I enjoyed that broadcast too. I do enjoy these broadcasts. So, you know, for what it's worth, it's kind of fun, I think.
Yeah. And so they started out slow, but then they took the lead at the 6:02 mark, on a Miles dunk, ironically. And then we kind of went back and forth for a few minutes, and then for good at the 2:24 mark, where I think Davidson got out, and, you know, it was their senior night. And so some of their guys were playing a little amped up. But then, you know, the Ramblers really tightened it up defensively after that, the first 10 minutes. And so the second 10 minutes of the first half, and then the full second half, was a testament to Loyola's defense, and then getting out and really, you know, saying, asserting their will. And it played out. And so it really, I think for me, it was a Miles coming out party offensively. I mean, everyone's knows what he does defensively, but, you know, he only had one personal foul. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, he only had one personal foul, which is, you know, which was awesome. And for him to stay on the court for as long as he did, 26 minutes, and again, he blocked shots. He blocked 5 shots, which is, again, just astronomical when you think about it. But then I think he adversely affected a number of shots, even if not blocking them. And so it's just like they could get nothing going offensively in the second half, I felt like. And the Ramblers ran away with it. And basically they got up by like 10 or 12, and then they just kind of cruised in the second half.
Yeah, and I've been saying this all year. You know, the Ramblers play defense for 40 minutes. So as we start building a small lead into 10-point leads, I feel like other teams are not able to come back anymore. And I also feel like their shots start missing shots towards the end of the second half because they're literally tired. They're fatigued from playing us. Right. So even their good shooters start missing and going cold. So this has happened in almost, I want to say this has happened in a dozen games where maybe we start off slow, or maybe we're tied around halftime, and then that second half just wears down the other team. Now, a couple of teams have, you know, shot crazy and got up to leads, or we were off offensively, and that's my biggest fear, that we somehow get out of rhythm offensively, kind of like the Ohio State game when we were in the tournament. Like, we shot worse than we had done in 3 years on that game. Like, even our defense looked okay in that game, but we're missing layups.
They were under 60. They were under 60.
We were missing layups in that game, and, you know, so that's the anomaly. But the mean in this season has been this quality defense that they play, and even when we've had big leads, I still see guys diving for balls and active hands with a minute
Miles
to go.
Miles was play of the game for me, for Davidson, was balls on the ground, and, you know, their guy Huffman goes after it, and it looks like he's got control of the ball, and all of a sudden Miles jumps on top of him, or no, the ball was on his back, on Huffman's backside, and then Miles dives for the ball, grabs it, And then as he's rolling over, throws it off. He could tell he's trying to pass us somebody, but there wasn't anybody there. But instead throws it off a Davidson player out of bounds back to Loyola.
No, it was obvious that it was a clever play. He was just like, I'm gonna bounce this off.
It was clever, but it was like he was on the ground. And there's a couple.
Mwamba got one of those the other night, though. Mwamba got one where he actually threw it at someone to get the ball back.
He threw
back.
It off of Huffman.
Yeah.
He threw it off of Huffman's back, and you could see afterwards Benny was laughing because she's like, oh my gosh. But it was just like, you know, Miles again, and then he did that in the LaSalle game. I'm watching, all of a sudden Miles is on the ground, you know, just diving for balls. And I'm like, you're 6'10 center guy. That shouldn't be the guy that's doing it, but yet that's the example that's the standard that he's recognized. Is like, hey, Tom Welch would do that. I'm going to do that. And it's like, love that.
Do you see what Welch said to him after the game? They had audio of this.
The Davidson game.
Yeah. Did you hear what he said? Yeah. What did he say?
What did he say?
Oh, you asking me?
I'm asking you. What did he say?
He said something like, he like hugged him and he goes, hey, you're pretty good for a rookie. Or something like, yeah. Or a freshman. I don't know.
Good for a freshman.
But something like that. You're a good freshman. So I thought that was cute. Man, talk about that. I posted a gift this week of Miles smiling in one of those packages where he's getting interviewed.
Yeah. And, come on, dude.
And Christian Thomas says to him, you know, like they were asking him.
There was a debate the day before on the bus. Between Ohio guys, so Dez was having the debate with, I think, Miles, I'm not sure who else, and Chicago basketball guys. And that's why the Christian then asked the question in the post game. And so that's why Miles answered the way he did was, come on, man, it's Chicago.
Come on, Chicago, yeah. Please. Yeah, it was hilarious. They actually, in the game, played a video montage where they were asking them who had the better basketball players, Chicago or Ohio. And, you know, so it was the same kind of funny thing. But
nice.
So we got to give a player of the game to this guy, I assume, right? We can't ignore Miles in this Davidson game, can we?
No, I mean, yeah, there's nobody else that. Yeah, it's Miles. He is epitomizing heart and hustle, just because of the way that he's playing defense, and then is getting after it. You know, again, diving on. I'm gonna start chalking up. There's not a statistical thing for dives on the floor, but there's gonna be now in the two Ramblers world, and Miles is getting one or two of those a game.
Well, and getting
so Miles Rubin.
Yeah, and then just even getting to 26 minutes with only one foul, too. That's one of his best performances in terms of being able to stay on the court. Might even be the most minutes this year for him.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that would take a little too long to research that at the moment. But again, he 13 points, 9 rebounds, 5 blocks, 2 steals. He had an assist. His only weakness right now is his free throws, because he's going to get fouled going down the stretch that he's in the game. He's 1 for 3. But it's like, if I'm a nitpick, okay. But I feel like that's been true of everybody, especially the last couple of games, which, well, let's get to the Breakfast Club all this week before we head out to Brooklyn. Because we're going to have to hit free throws if we're going to win this tournament. We cannot win this tournament if we're shooting 57% from the free throw line. That's just not going to cut it.
What was it? 54% in the LaSalle game.
In the LaSalle game. Yeah.
Yeah. Of course.
Yikes.
Yeah, that wasn't great. Well, let's get to that LaSalle game. I don't think we're going to pick a play of that game, are we? I mean, in Davidson,
Davidson was pretty clear. Both these games, I mean, even the last couple weeks, there hasn't been the thunderous or the momentous one. a play. It's just like, it's just a lot of really good plays. If anything, I mean, there's the one kind of like,
well, let's play maybe miles on the ground, like, maybe miles on the ground.
Yeah. Miles diving again. But you know, there was the almost excellent play, you know, in the LaSalle game where Patty Mwamba, you know, is going up for the dunk and then, you know, slams on the back of the rim and it goes 30 feet in the air. And
yeah, it goes to section 207, I think. I mean, it was so freaking high. Yeah. Well, and then of course, don't forget, I mean, there were a lot of Sports Center, like almost top tens,
possible
top tens, like Greg Dolan behind the back and it gets flopped, you know, and I feel like we had another, miss at the hoop or whatever. At the beginning of this game, I will say one thing about the LaSalle. I guess we're talking about the LaSalle game now. One thing.
Yes, you said we're going to move to LaSalle.
They were so amped up that, like, yeah, there were just shots where they just were having no touch onto the backboard, and they were just bouncing right off. I mean, I think everyone was amped up after that ceremony.
Yes.
So I'll set up a little sight and sounds.
Please do. That's what people come for the two Ramblers for. Sight and sounds with Dauber.
Right. Right. Well, we got there.
A treasure.
We got there with plenty of time before the game. Although it's interesting, we got there, I think, a half an hour before the game. I didn't hear Sister Jean pray, so I don't know if they did that earlier because of Senior Day. But, you know, we were there, and it was kind of funny. Like, you know, the Wolf Pack wasn't there, so they gave away the pack. I'm going to mute you. So the pack wasn't there. So, you know, the side I was sitting on, there was a lot of confusion about where you were sitting. Like, I kid you not, we were in section 209.
Yeah.
Probably like 10 people came up and thought they were sitting in our section, and they were actually in 109. And so they would come halfway up, start getting confused, and then they would look, and then they'd go, oh, we're down in 109. That happened.
Which is normally where the pack is, right? Because don't they go 109?
Yeah.
107.
Yeah, and there was a woman in front of me who I guess had a kid as a cheerleader, and her little sister was there, and she was holding up a fat head of the cheerleader. This is during the Ramblers game where I'm trying to watch Braden Norris's last home game, and there's a fat head of a cheerleader being held up in front of me. And I'm just like, what is it about this team? Like, I feel like this is like, we're going to win the A-10 championship tonight. And yet the fans are coming in and I'm like, they're lost. They don't know where they're sitting. They're coming late. They're cheering for the cheerleaders, not the actual team, which is fine. I get it. There's plenty of times to take videos of the cheerleaders and to celebrate them. There's a whole bunch of timeouts, but not during the game. Like,
this was a true tried and true testament of the fact that there needs to be a Rambler rowdy section for Dauber and his buddies.
Yeah.
Because I'm watching the game on TV and the student section, which normally is, you know, all behind, you know, Jordan and Chris Sparks, and it's, you know, swaying and up and down. And you could clearly tell the halfway point for the students that had showed up who are live in town or stayed around for tonight's game or last night's game. And then the other half, which was like, hey, we got to sell these tickets, so let's get some people in there. And so it's, we'll call them turistas because they're not normally at games. And so you had one of the students who were up the whole game, and these folks were sitting down in the 100 section. You got to be kidding me.
Yeah, it was bad.
It was like, I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, not only that, but they gave away their Rambler Sports Hall of Fame. You know, three people were inducted, a softball player and a couple other people. I don't know who, I don't know who they were, but they gave away a lot of tickets to their friends and family. So that was one thing that was really interesting. A whole bunch of people showed up who were for the softball player, and I could tell, like, it was her family. So they didn't care about the fact that this was Braden Norris's last game, they were taking pictures of the softball player and taking pictures with one another. And it was just really weird because whatever.
I think this is the last year for that. I really do. I think this is the last year for that because, and here's why. I think moving forward, you know, Brian and his crew with the marketing and ticket operations are going to recognize we can't do that again. Like, and also I think there's going to be somewhat of a, hey, this is fandom at, you know, Loyola Basketball, because it's going to be pretty regular that they sell out as they continue to do well. Because I think, you know, last year kind of, you know, took the air out of the momentum bandwagon. And I think they pushed it back all in this year. I think next year, you know, will be that where they continue to, you know, play well in front of big crowds that don't understand what is needed. And they will have the Ramble Rowdy section for Dauber.
I hope so.
And the likes.
I hope so, because
Brian Day, I'm calling you out. We need to have a Ramble Rowdy section for Dauber and other two Rambler fans who also want to be rowdy and not have to worry about fat heads and people not standing up and cheering the team.
Yeah. So imagine this. I'm trying to watch where the game starts, and well, actually, let me take a step back. So they had the senior day thing. They had all the jerseys set up for these guys, and they had them walk out with family. And I would say, you know, when, you know, Dolan came out and Mwamba and Adelakun, it was a nice moment.
Yeah,
it's kind of like, hey, you're Ramblers this year. Hey, this is the end of your college career.
Right.
But as the Ramblers came out, the ones who had been here for a while, Will Smythe, and then Phil. Phil obviously was a big one when he came out. And then when Welch came out, you know, he hugged Drew, and it was like a real family hug. Like, it wasn't, it was like a take in the moment, hold each other kind of like tight.
Yeah.
This is it. And you got, I got to admit, press
the air out.
Yeah. I got to admit, and I think Tom shows his emotion more than, say, Braden, like in terms of effusiveness. So there was a certain moment when Tom, you know, that kind of got me a little bit. And then Braden comes out, you know, Braden being Braden, he walked quickly, you know, and took the pictures, smiled, handed his jersey off. You could tell he was starting already getting game face.
He's like, I got effort work to do.
But he did, you know, there were times where he did jack up the crowd. He waved his arm up, I think, when he came out. And he, you know, and during the game, there was a couple times he kind of got the crowd going. So he definitely knew the moment. And I think he was most comfortable, you know, between the nets, like during the game.
Yeah.
That's where he goes, I'm going to celebrate this moment.
Right.
Not so much the ceremony. So the ceremony was good, but gosh, I almost wish they could do it at halftime or at the end of the game, because yeah, there were all these tourists coming in and standing, and they weren't, you know, and then, you know, there's loyal security there, but you know how, like, when you're at the Bulls game or the Blackhawks game,
they tell people
you can't go in right now. The ball's in play.
I was at the local Norfolk Scope, the hockey game, and Elsa and I went out to get, you know, go to the bathroom, get some popcorn. We came back and the puck was moving around. They stopped us from going in because our seats were down on the lower bowl, but even to go in the upper bowl, they're like, no, you cannot move while the puck is in play. And right. I was like, and Elsa knew exactly what to do. It was like, nope, we got to wait till the puck stops.
Yeah, and there was none of that. And then there were people standing in the aisles. At one point, I kind of yelled a little bit, like, not bad, but I was like, hey, we're trying to watch the game. And so instead of a woman going and finding her seat, she just sat down on the steps. I'm like, no, have you ever been to a game? You don't sit on the steps. Like, this isn't high school. Yeah. So
we spent the first half
on that side, on this side right by the 209 aisle. And then I saw Susan Hanna and Chicago Hanna from the Bathtub Blurs and Matt. The
Two Bathtub Blurs.
Yeah. Matt, well, I wanted to call them the Tubs. I thought that'd be funny. But then it sounded weird. It sounded weird. So I didn't want to say that. But I just thought that'd be funny. Like the Blobs or the blur Tubs. I don't know. It's that sounds bad. I was trying to come up with the
Blurs podcast.
Bathtub Blurs is a little bit of a mouthful. So, yeah. And then I think who else sits over there? Matthew
Rowley.
I think Matthew Rowley sits over there. So anyway, they kind of waved me over. And they had two seats, so I moved over there. That was much better.
Oh, yes. Wonderful.
Well, it was just much better. There wasn't anyone standing. By that point, a lot of people had filtered out. At halftime, you know, a lot of the touristas had gone home because we sat in seats.
I did notice that. So, I noticed that on TV. Like, there was a lot of empties after halftime, and then a lot of people, like, during the game, as the game, you know, like the 10-minute mark of the second half, like, people leaving. Like, We're cutting down nets tonight. What are you leaving for?
Yeah,
these are people that have no idea.
I did not quite get it. There were a lot of people holding kids. You know that age of kids that they're not quite babies, but they're not like able to sit in a seat.
It's called toddlers.
They're not able to sit in a seat. There are a lot of holding babies up during timeouts and cheesy dances. And again, I'm just like, I don't mind that. I guess that would be nice for a normal Saturday afternoon, but just for senior night, I kind of feel like they should have scheduled this game at 7 o'clock, and it would have more people who would have been there for the game as opposed to just showing up. So, but
I'm with you. It's like, I don't know how they, it would have been better an evening game.
I mean, spring break was at a wrong time. This should have been. I mean, I can't believe the Pack wasn't there for this.
It's spring break. What do you want?
Yeah,
they were there for the Dayton game, and then they left. I mean, that was spring break started on the Dayton game.
Yeah,
and then they left. Right. So it's like, hey, what are you gonna do?
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. You think Duke has this problem though? Like,
no
babies and tourists.
They have a culture of fandom that, I mean, because think about it. So what we're dealing with here is the fact that, okay, so the students leave. Great. You're allowed to leave, Pac. Go ahead. But think about it. Folks that have graduated from 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, so that's 6 years or whatever, are now coming back, you know, the golden alumni. So they're filling in the, you know, the 100 or those, you know, golden alumni tickets. And so we need another 5 or 6 years of this so that then all of the 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28 graduates are then they're the 100 and 200 level. And so that's who's your fandom is building on. That's what we're waiting on, another 5 years. So then, you know, the students now graduate, they get their golden alumni tickets, and then they come back and they know how to, you know, cheer on the Ramblers.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Right. We need another 10 years of Pack graduates who kind of who come back to games. Yeah. No, you're right. Well, I'm not complaining, but it just was like the moment, like the moment when I was trying to listen for Tom and, you know, the goodbye ceremony, you know, there's a lot of distraction, a lot of movement by me. So it wasn't quite like everyone stopped in the stadium to watch what was going on.
Right.
So it was very weird. One other thing I noticed too that is a particular kind of sign of the times. People aren't taking hats off for the national anthem, which
what?
Yeah, I saw at least three hats yesterday, and I'm kind of like, I don't understand. Is that just a home training thing where people just didn't get the memo that you take your hat off?
Don't they say it now?
They do say it, but I saw like some older fans with hats on, and I saw obviously Pack members. This is where I've noticed it. Pack members are wearing hats.
Okay. I don't understand that. Like, if you've asked to remove your cap, you remove your cap. Like, I'm a guy that wears hats. Like, I remove my hat. My contention is, I and this is probably not the place for this discussion, but I still think the Star Spangled Banner is a wrong song because it's just the way the song is. But I know that that's our national anthem. But it's just like, I'm kind of like, I don't know if it's just musically, it's not the right song. But I don't understand, yeah, if they say, please kindly remove your hat as a, you know, in deference, it's like, yeah, let's do that.
Yeah,
I don't understand. Yeah, that doesn't make any
sense. I mean, if it were people protesting, that'd be one thing, but it just looks like laziness or like a weird, they don't know the...
Yeah, it's laziness.
They don't know, like, you do that? Like, didn't anyone ever tell them? So it's kind of like, I kind of feel like, yeah, I felt like almost a couple going up to some of the pack guys and go, hey, dude, hey, bra,
take your hat off
when the thing's on, man. I don't want to be a boomer here, but come on. I mean, unless we've given up on democracy in this country and, you know, whatever, we're just like, whatever, take your hat off. So yeah, that's an aside. So we get into this game and, you know, they're amped up and they, you know, they're missing some shots and, you know, whatever. LaSalle goes ahead by 7 at one point, and I really wasn't worried. The only thing I was worried about was that if we played too sloppy too long, that either they'd get a bigger lead or we might open ourselves up to some weird foul differential or, you know, like end of sequence game like Richmond, where it's like, I feel like we're playing pretty good against Richmond too. And then the ending just kind of, the coin toss went in the wrong direction, you know, essentially the coin flip.
Yeah.
And I was kind of worried about LaSalle like that, but obviously they started making some shots. I mean, I think Dez got a 3, at a crucial point. And that kind of, I think everyone in the whole stadium had a sigh of relief when that happened. It's like, okay, we're going to make a couple threes.
They were like, they were an over in the beginning, in the first half. And then Raiden got a 3 at the 5:13 point. And that's when they kind of took a lead. And then they never really relinquished it after that.
Yeah, Dez got one. Braden got one. Even Tom Welch got one, I think.
Yeah, he did
and,
in the second half.
And that was a man. People freaking love that one. But I will say the point of the game that I think was most noticeable, it was loud at different points, and there was a lot of energy at different points for the actual gameplay. Once everyone found their seats, I will say the biggest cheers came on defense when Miles got blocks. Everyone, it was like someone dunked.
Agreed.
It was like someone dunked.
Yes.
When, I mean, there was just this roar every time he touched the ball, and especially on defense.
It definitely felt like watching the game, like people were more in tune with the defensive side than the offensive side. Because they knew, oh, there's a block coming. And yeah, and Miles was, he recognized that and just kept blocking left and right. And to come away with 6 blocks in that game was phenomenal. And I think he may have had, I'm gonna call this the hockey block, you know, the hockey assist, you know, hockey block, where it's like, I think he had 3 or 4 other ones where it's like he kind of altered, you know, how they approached a basket and missed because of his presence. So not only did he have 6 blocks, but I think he probably had 4 or 5 other hockey blocks.
Yeah, he definitely had a few things like that too. There were also a couple where the guy missed kind of poorly, maybe because he changed the shot and he got a quick rebound. I'm looking, how many rebounds did he have? They credit him with 4. But I swear there were times
Dame had 10.
Yeah. There were a number of times where I feel like he came down with the ball that had just been poorly shot. So whether I don't know if that's a block sometimes or if it was an air ball, there were a couple that were like that.
Right.
So, yeah, he definitely was causing problems when he was in there.
Yeah, that was a fun game. Once they kind of like righted the ship after the 10-minute mark, I felt like in the first half, then, you know, they went on their run and then cruised. I felt like, you know, they were up 11 in the first half and then they won by one in the second half. So it felt like they were just trading buckets in the second half. But it was like that was a celebratory win the way it played out. And so it was, yeah, it was I would have drawn it up where they wouldn't have to come up as much in the first half, you know, because they were down a little bit. But once the defense kind of locked in, and then, you know, Chris Sparks spoke to this in the second half, but, and you've said this time and time again, but LaSalle was gassed at the end. They did not have the juice in order to overcome that 10-point deficit. And that was evident.
Yeah. And, you know, we had a 10-point lead, which I thought was pretty solid. So with about 2 minutes to go, and I honestly thought they were chanting for Will Smythe. I honestly thought Drew was gonna, you know, run the reserves out there. Minute goes by, still basically the starters, maybe the starters and Dame out there. I don't remember who was out.
Right.
But it was all the main guys. You know, Braden's getting a turnover like with 30 seconds to go. You know, I mean, it's like they're not coming out. And they took Braden out with 11 seconds to go. I think so he could get a cheer. And
he got free throws at the 28th second and then subbed out with 11 seconds left.
Yeah, he subbed out at 11. They brought in Will, and there was a huge cheer for Will. And then it was funny, the crowd was so excited Will was coming in, which again is like, I get it, but it's just like, and then the crowd realized, oh, this is Braden getting subbed out for the last time in his career at home, probably.
Right.
And then there was another cheer, which was funny because it's like, well, Will Smith's coming in. Yeah. Or Smythe, you know, and then it's like, oh, this is Braden's last game. Oh, you know,
you know, at the 1 minute mark, should have subbed in Greg Dolan and then subbed in Will Smythe.
I don't know what, but it was kind of funny. Like, people were losing the moment of, and I mean, it was hard at times to realize, this is it. You know, I saw Demetrio Alston after the game, and I was just saying goodbye to them, to the Alstons, you know, just like, hey, thanks for everything the last couple of years. And, you know, she took a picture with me, which is cool. But I was acutely aware as I'm saying goodbye to them, that might've been the last time I see Phil Alston play
in person.
Well, yeah, in person at Gentile, it might be the last time I see them. And the weight of that moment was you kind of forgot a couple times, Tom.
Demetrius Braden spoke to this in a tweet. She said in her own tweet a day or two before, she goes, I've been so focused on Phil in the season that I just realized that this Saturday is our last game.
Right.
You know, she and her husband, who's Mr. Alston.
Anthony Alston. Anthony.
Anthony. You know, it's like their last game. And so at brunch today, I brought this up to my wife and then her parents who are with us. And Pam, my mother-in-law, she's like, yeah, that last game was tough for us because Julie was a 3-year or 4-year player at Dayton for softball. And they had spent many a weekends with families, you know, the same families for four years. They're traveling all over the Midwest. And I'm sure Demetria and Anthony as well. And so just so that their family is now, you know, they have, you know, essentially one more weekend, if not more and more, but one more weekend where it's like, hey, they're with the family, the Loyola family. And it's not going to be the same, you know, when they come back as, you know, a fan or whatever. But it's just, yeah, So Pam, she goes, I can relate to, you know, Demetria and just that loss. So yeah, I was really appreciative of that. She put that out there because that's something, you know, we as fans don't think about. It's like, you know, the investment that parents put in their kids obviously is one thing, but then also investment in the team. And so being team parents.
Yeah, no, I mean, and I saw Tom's family there. I saw the Schweigers. I saw Jay Quinn's family there. I saw Jaden Dawson's mom there. They were all there. And
did you tell Jaden Dawson's mom, hey, nice,
you know, no, nice kids. You know,
I got my own Jaden.
You know me.
You're trying not to say anything.
Yeah, I mean, I did feel like the Alstons I wanted to say goodbye to, but everyone else, I don't want to bother them. And we waited so long because we went and talked to Alex after the game and after all the festivities that we actually ran into players as we were leaving. I was hoping to say goodbye to the families before the players came out, and I did. I was actually able to say goodbye to the Alstons, and right as I was done taking a selfie, Phil came up from behind, and then that's right when I was leaving. So it was perfect. So I didn't bother them during that moment.
'90s callback. I'm just saying bye to yesterday. Come on, give me a 90s callback.
No, I'm going to have to just do it manually. I don't know where it is. 90s call. 90s callback.
There it is. Yes. Man, high school bringing it back. Nice.
So let me see if there's any other.
Honestly, it was a beautiful day. I loved the way it ended. Yes, very emotional. They kind of start out slow, but then they throttled it and brought them back into the game. They had great moments. I'm sure there was much more moments that they were hoping would happen, i.e. the Mwamba dunk and other threes. But, you know what, to come away with a 10-point win on senior day, because, hey, we just did senior day at Davidson, and we, you know, took the air out of the ball against them. And for, you know, the Ramblers to be able to be successful on senior day, to go out with a win, and then to not only with the, you know, go take the seniors out with a win, but then to hoist, you know, cut down the nets on the same night. Oh my gosh. Like storybook, you know, who's writing the Senate, you know, what's the word? The screenplay for that one, because that's what it was. I mean, that was, think about it. When they started this year, no way did they think, hey, we're going to win the A-10 and we're going to cut down the nets on senior night. No one thought that. And then to end that way was just poetry.
I thought that, you know, because we're playing for a championship, bro.
Championship, bro.
Family.
Family.
Yeah.
Going for championship, bro.
Listen, they were, they, you, hey, we, hey. They started using the word championship months ago. We started saying
number one in the A-10.
And yeah. Hey, I don't know if it's, you know, he who thinketh or whatever, one of those maxims, but as the man thinketh, I mean, you know,
number one in the A-10.
Amazing.
Yeah. It truly is, and it's a testament to Drew. This has been on Twitter the last 24 hours. A testament to Drew, and you know, his leadership, and honestly, his development as a coach to recognize, hey, the way we were doing things was not the way of success, so we need to change some things, and they did. But yet, also stay true to their values and be able to institute that to this new squad. And it took time for, you know, to develop, and they did it within the season. And again, speaks to the fact that the last 20 games they were 17-3, like that's unbelievable, and just wow. And so I literally, I. we didn't say this, but moving into the A-10 tournament, I think they're going to win it. I think they're going to go 3-0, and they're going to hoist cut down another banner.
Well, I mean, it's definitely, we've seen them do it before, so there's no reason to think they can't, you know, run it. And they're going to be playing teams that either they beat, or they're going to be playing teams that they're going to learn from, whether it's if they play the St. Bonnies again, I think they're going to know some things about that game. They're going to play on a neutral floor, and under the big lights, and who knows, we could struggle. We did in, Pittsburgh a few years ago. So but I want to say the way we play defense, the way we keep ourselves in games, I think how the baseball teams kind of tighten up their pitching rotation and it kind of starts to favor the defense in the playoffs. I kind of feel like that works well with us. Our defense is going to play 40 minutes no matter who we're playing. And if their shots don't fall and they get fatigued and tired and we just keep chucking along, I think we start getting some wins.
Yeah. So as the tournament has been laid out, so we're the 2 seed. So we play the winner. So LaSalle and Washington play on Tuesday night. And then the winner of that plays Bonaventure. And then we play the winner of that game.
Wait, so more than likely, LaSalle and who?
Washington, George Washington.
Oh, okay.
So the 10 versus 15. So let's just say I think LaSalle wins that because Washington's still kind of, I don't know. I mean, Washington's been struggling, but they were struggling because of injury, and now that those guys are back. Yeah, let's say it's GW. So I still think Bonaventure beats either of those two teams. I mean, and then so we play Bonaventure in the quarterfinals. And then the other quarterfinal that we're in the bracket of, Rhode Island will play St. Louis, and the winner of that will play Duquesne, the number 6 seed. So I'm going to say St. Louis wins that and plays Duquesne. Because St. Louis, they pulled off a shocker yesterday. So there's Duquesne. I think Duquesne takes them out. And then so it's Duquesne versus Dayton. And I think Dayton wins that, and I think it's Loyola versus Dayton in the semifinals. Here's the thing that I think is fascinating moving forward. Again, this goes back to the depth of the team. The fact that let's say the A squad and the B squad, there's not much drop off when we play our 5 through 10 players. Whereas Dayton, they don't have a 5 through or 6 through 10 players. They may have a 6, but not a 7 through 10. And I think that's going to hurt them in the tournament. So I think we win that.
Even LaSalle last night just played 7.
Yeah. And so then I think on the upper bracket, Richmond's the 1, Massachusetts the 4. I think VCU beats UMass. And I think, Richmond comes out. So I think it's Richmond versus VCU again, and I think Richmond wins. So I think the final is Richmond versus Loyola. I watched that Richmond George Mason game, or a good chunk of it, as I was hanging out with Elsa at gymnastics, and so I think Loyola pulls it out, because I think they learned their lessons against Richmond, and I think they know how to defend them moving forward. And so Sunday afternoon, 1 o'clock on CBS, and we'll be Loyola versus Richmond. And I think Loyola comes out victorious, cut down the nets.
And do you think Dayton just doesn't come into this tournament with a lot of energy? Because I think they think they're going to get an at-large.
I think they win that first game. And I think they come out with energy against Loyola, and I think they get a lead, but then Loyola just kind of the boa constrictor, tightens it up and wins late. And I think that's how it happens.
Okay. Hey, one,
as we're recording, I know this is not, I know we don't like talking about the Valley, but, Drake just beat upset Indiana State in the Valley Tournament, and I think that could be crucial for bids and stuff like that, because I think Indiana State may get an at-large bid, and so they Drake or the Valley could be a two-bid league. And I think for the A-10 to be a two-bid league, I think Dayton has to lose. If Dayton wins out, that's not good for the A-10.
Yeah. And there is a possibility that if for some reason we don't get through the tournament and we don't get an at-large, there is a possibility maybe we get an NIT bid.
Yes.
And depending on where we're seated, it could be a home game at Gentile.
Highly unlikely.
Highly unlikely, but possible. Maybe. So
maybe.
We don't want to focus on that, though. We want to focus on winning three games.
I think we win three and then six more.
Yeah, no. That'd be good. One last comment about sights and sounds. I'm going to the bathroom on the way out, the Gentile, and there was enough guys that people were standing in line. So I'm standing behind a guy, probably 6'10", 6'11", a young guy.
Okay.
Had an Illinois Wolves shirt on. And he looked young, so I kind of like... So part of me thinks, does he know Tom Welch or one of those type of guys?
Yep.
Where is he from? And I said, hey, you know, you play for the Wolves, Illinois Wolves? And he's like, yeah. I go, where are you going to college? Because he was tall, man. This guy was tall. And he goes, well, and he was kind of sheepish. He goes, Loyola did offer me a scholarship. And so he's class of 2025. His name is Nick Allen. And I think he said it was his first time at a Loyola game live, which was a great game to come to live.
Yes.
And let me just say, I looked up his Twitter, and he just finished his junior year. Nick Allen finishes his junior year with 532 points. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
And 47 dunks.
Not bad.
I'll take it. Nick Allen, please come to Loyola. I don't know if you got any other offers, but, you know, keep us in mind.
It's this... Wait.
He's class of 25.
Oh, here it is. Yeah. 6'11". He's not 6'10". He's 6'11". Class of 25 from Urbana.
I knew. I know he was 6'11". I was saying when I saw him, though, I thought he was
about right. Yeah. 6'10", 6'11". I mean, yeah. That's potato, potato.
So I said, hey.
But yeah, all right.
I said, we'd love to have you. That's what I said. So who knows, man? And I know there's, you know, who else has been in the Wolves, right? Has it been, was it Schweiger?
Oh, no.
Jay Quinn? Jay Quinn?
No. Shoot. I want to say Tom was. And then wasn't Frank the Tank? Wasn't he a Wolves guy? Illinois Wolves, along with everyone's yelling at us right now, and I'm totally blanking. The kid that now is at North Carolina. I thought he was the Illinois Wolves guy. Wojcik. Paxson Wojcik. Yeah, I thought he was the Illinois Wolves guy as well. I'm almost positive they were. Yeah, I think they were. But yeah, Nick Allen. Okay. We'll be on the lookout for Nick.
All right. I'm looking for alumni here. They don't show their name. So it's like I don't recognize these guys by sight. Sorry.
That's all right.
Anyway, well, whatever. So I thought that was interesting.
Which, again, this speaks to the fact of success in the A-10 this year in particular, of not only are we successful, but now we have two top 75 recruits coming in, as well as maybe one or two more from the portal may, you know, drop in this coming next year. So to couple that with what's already here. And I think, you know, Drew has recognized, hey, we're coaching not only, you know, we're recruiting new guys, but also the guys we have in-house. It's like, so speaking to the Dez, the Miles, the, you know, many people have been clamoring for Schweiger, and Sheldon, you know, for next year. It's like, yeah, there's minutes. And so Quinn and Dawson as well. It's like, I think there's a recipe for continued success or sustained success in the years to come. And it's like, that's exciting to be a part of.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to be a part of it. And I was telling some of the, the people in Section 209, I said, you know, at the end of last season, I kind of wondered, you know, if we were going to wrap it up. And they were like, no, you know, Loyola is going to bounce back. I go, not Loyola, the two Ramblers. I said, I don't know if I had another season like last season in me. I mean, but now I'm starting to look going, oh man, I guess we're in for year four. I guess we're going to get extended.
Year four extension.
I guess nice. We're going to get that year four extension. And I was trying to wonder how many more podcasts we're going to have this year. I mean, we definitely have one more. But if, you know, we win that tournament or if we get some postseason action, there's another one. Maybe we get a couple wins in tournament. There's another couple. So this could be the second to last podcast of the year, or it could be a run a new podcast. We'll see.
It's postseason blurs. There we go.
Yeah. So here for it. We when we started this podcast, we said the road to the tournament starts here, and that's right. And. Look at here we are in season three. No one said
look
we could.
Look at us now. Look
no
us
one
now.
Said
Paul Rudd. Look at us now.
Yeah, no one said that we'd get back to the tournament this fast, but it's possible, man. We're three games away.
Yeah, yeah, and that's exciting. I think about it. I mean, the era of basketball that we grew up in that you greatly in. You know, embellished with your GIFs this week with Joe and with Tommy. That was never a possibility. Like we never thought we were going to the tournament. And now it's like, hey, that's a regular occurrence. Like, hey, we're going to, we expect to be in the tournament. And so, man, I love that. That's why we signed up to do this podcast.
Yeah.
Is because of the fun that we have with that.
Yeah. And no. So, for sure. And hey, one thing I was thinking about too, and I put this in one of the tweets, I think there is still a little bit of recency bias. You know, it's really easy to look at records and go, yeah, we sucked back then. But, you know, I was watching some of these clips of games where we won. Crowd is going crazy.
Yeah.
Crowd is still cheering Loyola on. Loyola players not taking plays off. They're trying to win.
Right.
So it's like, yeah, we didn't get the results we wanted in terms of tournaments and stuff. And we didn't have the program that could compete with some of these other schools. We didn't have the Norvy Center. We were playing an alumni gym at different points when they were building the Gentile. Even when the Gentile opened, you know, we still weren't quite there yet. So I just think... we got to remember back then players were trying to win. Coaches were trying to win.
Yeah.
Fans were coming to games and cheering.
Right. I will never discredit those that donned the Loyola script of their effort. But, you know, from an administration standpoint, you know, from a resource standpoint, there it wasn't there. They didn't have the opportunity. Like, again, I've said this time and time again, we needed 100 things to go right in order for us to win, because it's like we were fighting an uphill battle. I think now things have leveled and where it's like, hey, we have a chance every night to win every game. And that's proved out this in this A-10 season.
All right. Well, I think it's time to pack it in.
Let's pack it in.
Number one in the A-10.
Well, I'll take with me the memories. to be my sunshine after the rain. And boy, it was sunshine. It was. Okay. It was sunshine to see Dimitri Alston in person and just take a picture with her. So that definitely was the highlight of my night, other than the big win and the raising the banner. So congratulations to all the seniors and all their families. Thanks for being Ramblers. And let's keep doing this, man. Let's do a couple more of these this year. Yes. Go Ramblers.
Go Ramblers!